If you'd like to follow along with me, scripture reading this morning will be taken from Hebrews 11, verse 6. And it reads, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him."
Good morning. It's so good to see everyone this morning. I must admit that I learned three things yesterday morning before we even got to the church building at Gold Hill. Number one, when a man gets in your car carrying two Krispy Kreme donuts and two cups of coffee, at least take one of the donuts. Don't trust in your confidence that you will get to where you're going on time. Number two is don't get so deep in conversation that you pass your exit. It was kind of disheartening going down 485 and seeing a Greensboro Spartanburg sign when you were looking for Columbia and Statesboro. And number three, don't rely on the guy in the back seat to know that you passed the exit and didn't say anything. So, we're going to share this. We had a great time. We truly did. It was a great meeting, great fellowship, and a great time. I wanted to also make note, Norman Probst had went to the hospital. Francis had taken him Friday afternoon or Friday morning. He did have some problems. He wasn't feeling well. He was sent home. He does need to see a specialist tomorrow. They're going to try to figure out what's causing some of his problems. So if you'll keep Norman in your prayers. Faith is like gasoline. When a car rolls off the assembly line in Detroit, they move it out into a lot where it gets awaits transportation to dealerships. In that gas tank is just enough gas to get it there, to get it on the trailer, and get it off the trailer into the dealer's lot. Without that gas in the tank, it's just a fancy chunk of metal. Faith, as we know, one of the tenets of salvation. And it is an important aspect of Christianity. It is impossible to please God without faith. Without faith, we have no purpose here in our assembly. Without faith, our worship this morning would be unacceptable. When we consider faith, we must seriously consider the text of the Scriptures. We are here because we believe in God. We believe in the rewards of His promise, the promise that we have found in His Word. This is in sharp contrast to what many had thought that we can find in Matthew 16. Verses 13 and 14, Jesus asked his disciples a question, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And his disciples, they answered and they said, "Well, some say that you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." What we find here is that most of the men at the time of Christ didn't have the faith that was needed to please God. They only had a gallon or so in their gas tank. John chapter 1, verse 1, John writes about the three of our senses that brings faith to fruition, brings it full circle. He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life." John here, he heard the words that Christ spoke, and we hear his words today through his word, through the Scriptures. John's eyes gazed on Christ. He was there. He saw him firsthand. We gaze on Christ through the word. We have seen Christ We have handled the Word by doing the will of God. To understand what faith is, it is very important how we fill our tank. Hebrews 11, verse 1. The Hebrew writer here says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." What we find in this verse, if we look at it very closely, is not a definition of faith. The writer here, he's not telling us what our faith is. What he is doing is simply describing the relation of faith to the human soul. The means of endurance and the principle of enjoyment. He tells us here that faith is the foundation of things hoped for. The foundation. They use a fancy word in the Greek called hypostasis, which means foundation, or in other words, maybe an essence or substance. But it is the foundation. Our faith is the very beginning. That's why it is so important for us to start. That is the gallon in the gas tank. Things not seen is not in reference to the future good. The promises revealed by the Holy Spirit. I consider one of the greatest books of the Bible ever written was Paul's letter to the Romans. In that one letter, we can find everything that we need to do in order to live a good Christian life. The other letters are just as important, but in this one book, we find so much. We use Romans 10:17 to tell folks the beginning stages of salvation. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What we find is there is no belief, there is no knowledge of God or Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit, except that it comes through the Word of God. And this Word is received in faith. I can read the Bible. I can read it cover to cover, every single word. But what good is it? I don't believe it. The Word of God begins as a seed. Christ, He tells of the parable of the sower. But in Luke verse 8, He explains His parable. The seed, He says, is the Word of God. The Word of God appears, starts as a seed and appears as a bud. Or a blade of grass, if you want to use that analogy. With a bud on a tree. Then it grows. You'll see an ear. Or you'll see the beginnings of a fruit. And then you'll have the whole fruit, the whole ear, the whole grain. These being degrees of growth or development. Of faith. Faith through successive stages. We can look in the auditorium this morning and see stages and growth of faith. When you consider Sister Daisy, Sister Martha, Sister Willie, Brother Joe, others in the congregation, a long life of service to God, you see the growth of faith. And then you look at a lot of us who are much younger in the faith and where we are at. Growth. Jesus gave us examples of this growth through His scriptures. In Luke chapter 4, we can see this seed growing in the Samaritan woman. It grew to the point that in verses 39 through 42, it says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified. He told me all that I ever did. So then that the Samaritans were come unto him, and they besought him that they would tarry with him. And he abode with them for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And he said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." The Samaritan's faith developed into the fruit. We do have various characteristics of faith. We need to understand. Faith is increased or strengthened by obedience, putting more gas in the gas tank. When you pull out of the dealership, very few dealers will give you much gas in your car. I know one that will fill it up before you pull it out. If you ignore that gas gauge, your brand new car will be sitting on the side of the road. If it is ironic, it might be 100 yards in front of the one beat-up car sitting on the side of the road with the red sticker on the windshield that the police officer put there. What do they have in common? They're two hunks of metal sitting on the side of the road. And why? Because there's no gas in the tank. It started out with some. I use that analogy here because of the obedience. Romans 1 verse 5, Paul writes here in these words, "By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name." At the very end of the chapter, or the book, chapter 16 of Romans, verse 26, Paul finishes out the book with this: "By now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." Putting gas in the tank. Taking that seed, letting it grow into fruit. Ripe fruit. But we all know what happens to ripe fruit if you ignore it. If you let it sit on the window shelf, or you let it sit in the crisper in your refrigerator, and you forget about it, goes bad. They've actually put on tomatoes now that you can buy in the store: do not refrigerate. And I'm always like, I always put it in the refrigerator and get another week out of it. Why buy it if it's going to sit in the refrigerator? Our faith and obedience is tied together. If you want your tank filled, you must be obedient. We grow. The apostles, can you imagine what would have happened to the church if they had taken their great commission and after that day at Pentecost, they went home? Instead of continuing in obedience to God's word, going where God sent them. Can you imagine the life of Paul, what we would have between these covers if after Damascus Paul went home? Or if he was like Demas and went home? Because he got tired of being beat up, rocks thrown at him, thrown in prison, stuck on a stupid boat, getting snake bit. Obedience to the gospel caused these men to do great things. Testimony produces faith, and faith produces testimony. I'm not advocating that everybody come up and give a testimony. I've heard a few of those. You cannot be saved by someone else's revelation on why they became a Christian, because salvation is an individual choice. But things that happen in our lives produces faith. During the ministry of Christ, there were many whose faith grew because of the personal contact they had with Christ. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 and 21, we find the account of the woman who had the issue of blood. She had it for 12 years. The crowd of people, she come in behind Christ, and she said to herself, "If I could only just touch the hem of His garment, I will be healed." Was it the garment that made her whole? No. It was her faith. That strong faith. Her tank was full. It wasn't a passive faith, but it was an active faith. She knew just by being there with Christ that He could heal her. John chapter 11. Account of Lazarus. Martha knew that if Christ had been there, Lazarus would have lived. That's faith. That's faith. Her faith made her believe that. Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 13, the centurion whose servant was stricken with palsy. He sought out Christ. Didn't want Him coming to his house. Knew it wasn't necessary. Just say the word, and my servant will be whole. What kind of faith is that? But a tremendous faith. A gas tank that is full. Christ recognized that faith. There was no faith greater in all of Israel than this man right here. This man, because of his belief, could have been put to death. He was a Roman citizen. He was in Caesar's army. Caesar was who they were to worship. This man, faith in God and in God's Son. We all need to realize, a lot of us have, that it is not sufficient to just say, "I believe." That we have faith in the existence of God and in the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's not sufficient enough. If faith does not dwell within our hearts fully, then it's not sufficient. What about the chief rulers in John chapter 12? They believed. They knew who Jesus was. No man could do what Christ did and not know that. But they wouldn't confess Him. They only had a gallon of faith in their tank. This destroys the myth that belief only is sufficient to save. We cannot merely just say and do not the words and expect our faith to increase. Look at the faith that Barnabas had. Acts chapter 11. He was sent to Antioch. And he preached the word to the Greeks. And in verse 21 it says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." And true faith is also impartial. James devotes all of chapter 2 in James about the sin involving favoring those of stature and ignoring those of lesser stature. True faith, an obedient faith, an enduring faith shows love to all regardless of where they stand in one's eyes. The strength of our faith also has a direct bearing on our salvation. In Romans 13, verse 11, Paul writes, "And that knowing the time, that now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Paul urging here the Roman Christians to live a holy and exemplary life. This grave responsibility that's been placed on them and on us is to serve God, believing in the promise of eternal life. That promise should strengthen our faith each and every day. We should desire to do more and more each and every day in obedience to His Word. As Paul reminds us in this verse, the opportunity's now. We can't do anything later. When the car runs out of gas, where are you at? We are justified also by our faith. In Romans 5, verse 1, Paul says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul is telling us that we are not counted righteous before God through obedience of the law, but through faith in Christ. How many of us here believe in the seatbelt laws, that they save lives? Or do you wear the seatbelt because it's a law and you'll get a ticket? Faith is kind of like that, in the sense that if you just do it because it's what it says, but you don't truly believe it, what good is it? Read the Bible from cover to cover, read it every day, but if you don't believe it, what good is it? Through faith, it drives our obedience. Obedience drives our faith. You see, it's like a perpetual cycle. It's not the law that justifies, but the faith. Our faith also supports our spiritual life. "For therefore, in righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Romans 1:17. Faith guides our daily walk. Our faith keeps us on that path by doing those things that we're commanded to do. Our spiritual life grows. Our faith provides for our mutual fellowship here. Because of our faith, we find comfort here. We find solace here. We're there when one of us is knocked over. We're there when someone is having a great day or suffering from pain. Those things combined strengthens our faith each and every day. We rejoice when things come about and good things happen to our brother. to our families. And our faith ensures that we will endure to the very end. Barney had mentioned the preacher from Venezuela talking about the church, and there's a great persecution. But he ended on a great note. The church in Venezuela is growing. It's growing. It's not going away. They average a baptism a week. 56 last year. Growing in a socialist country. And they're not giving up. Their faith is strong. And they're there with one another. When they had to move their church building out of the city, the women sold their jewelry. The men that had livestock, they sold their chickens, every one of them, to buy land outside of the city so they could worship in freedom and not have to abide by government rule. How great a faith is that? Our faith protects us from the daily temptations we face. This is one of the reasons Paul made such a point of this in Ephesians 6 and verse 16 about the shield of faith and able to put off the darts of evil. We know the will of God. We know it. We know what He expects of us. And the faith we have in Him keeps us on the road. Not broke down on the side and out of gas. Our faith will make us triumphant. Our faith will allow us to get home and overcome those things within the world that are temporary. 1 John 5 and verse 4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." As faith grows, world's power diminishes. It loses its hold on us to the point of becoming non-existent. Our faith is like gold. Our faith must be relied and tried so that it can be strengthened. The more we rely on God's truths and promises, the purer our faith. Hope awaits enjoyment. From this enjoyment, love springs forth. Are you enjoying this blessed hope? We all have a duty to hear and believe, repent, confess, be baptized to be saved, and to be faithful to the very end. When we're baptized and we're cleaned, there's a gallon of gas in our tank. And it is up to us to keep pumping it in, keep it full, so that we can continue. If you're enjoying the hope, but your faith is lagging, and your low fuel light is on, we want to help you overcome those problems that are keeping you from pulling into the station and filling up. We want to have you offer the invitation this time. If you're not a child of God and you need to take that step, we want to offer that and help you in that. We want you to be able to go down this road with us in joy and happiness. And we want to spend eternity together, every one of us, in that fellowship that will never end. If anyone has a need this morning, won't you come as together we stand and we sing?